With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, this is Chris Ballew from the Presidents of the United States of America, also known as Casper Baby Pants if you have small children, and you are listening to Fascination Street Podcast.
I believe that everybody has a story, and I'm fascinated to hear them. So come with me as we take a walk down Fascination Street.
Welcome back, Streetwalkers. This episode is with Nicole Boggs and Alex Kramer from the band Nicole Boggs and the Real. In this episode, we have a lot of fun talking about what got them into music and how they found their specific sound and each other. We talk about different music genres and how that's all a bunch of malarkey anyway. Somehow, they both ended up on different P. Diddy-produced reality music shows, so we talk a little bit about that. Plus, we talk about their new album, which just dropped on August 1st, and they let me play a single off that album called If You Can't Be Cool. Don't forget, if you're in the area, they're having a record release party in Nashville on August 31st. Check out their website for details on that. And this is my conversation with Nicole Boggs and Alex Kramer from the band Nicole Boggs and the Real.
Yeah, talk to me, yeah.
Welcome to Fascination Street Podcast, Nicole and Alex. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Super good.
Nicole Boggs and Alex, what's your last name, Alex?
Kramer.
Nicole Boggs and Alex Kramer from Nicole Boggs and the Real. Did I say all that right?
That's you sure right. Did.
Now, listeners, that's our R-E-E-L, and we're going to find out why later.
Cool.
Because I'm super curious. The way I like to start is to find out, where was everybody born and raised? Where'd you guys grow up? Ladies first.
I was born in Oakland, California.
Gross. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's got its perks. There's good barbecue there now, I hear.
Okay.
But I grew up in Denver, Colorado.
Why?
My grandparents lived in Colorado, and my dad got custody of me at 4 years old and moved us out there to be closer to the family.
Got you. We're going to talk about all your family drama in a minute.
It's my favorite thing to talk about.
I know. I've listened to some other interviews. I know it is. Alex, born and raised, man. Where'd you grow up?
Born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee.
Weird. How did you get all the way from there to wait a minute?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the suburbs in a little town called Mount Juliet, college in Memphis, and then was in Los Angeles for about 3 years, and then back to Nashville proper in 2012.
What did you go to college for?
I was a history major, but at the time I already planned on being a professional musician and was kind of already working coming out of high school. So
you were there on a music scholarship, right?
I was there on a music performance-based scholarship, but it wasn't tied to a major. My dad is a bass player and was a professional musician for, 25 years in the Nashville country music industry. So I kind of had my sights set on what I wanted to do, having nothing to do with college. And then the college thing happened, and I thought, this is what you're supposed to do and a good backup plan. But I got to Memphis and I started gigging immediately and missing classes, and I dropped out of college in 2 years.
Oh, good job. Well, yeah. Money well spent.
Right. Well, it was free, so...
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So basically, I started working so much that plan A was working out in college. It was like this plan B that was just in the way. So I dropped out and moved to LA and continued to gig and freelance as a guitar player.
Why LA?
Well, what brought me out there was working on a TV show, like a reality show that was like based around musicians called Making His Band with P. Diddy.
I was also on a P. Diddy show, in case you want to get into the
I got passed through an audition and moved out there and did the reality show. And through that process, I met a bunch of musicians and kind of decided to take music to the next level outside of Memphis. And I kind of had the choice between, in my mind, between Nashville and LA. And I just felt that I was a better fit in LA. I don't have like a ton of country music roots. Did that for a few years and then realized like, well, Nashville is my hometown and I can make a living there. So that's kind of why I transitioned back home.
Didn't you say your dad was playing bass in country bands for 25 years?
Yep.
In Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that you didn't have country roots?
Right.
He was suppressing them.
I was suppressing them. I didn't feel influenced by them at the time, but I mean, it's all.
I was going to say, I feel like there's country roots in what we're doing now even, and that's largely because of you.
What's funny is like I grew up classic rock Beatles kid, and like as a teenager I was super into blues and kind of went through those guitar player phases, and the one thing that never really interested me was country. But as soon as I left Nashville and they knew I was from Nashville, they were like, oh, I love the country flavor that's in your playing. And I was like, I literally have never intentionally learned a country lick up to this point in my life, but it's in my bones, I guess.
Did they only say it after they found out you were from Nashville?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was kind of psychological.
It's funny. We, as a band, get labeled as that a lot when we're pitching to press or something outside of this area. And it's like, there's some elements in there, but usually for that to be put on the music is like, you're just saying that because we're from Nashville.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I get that a lot. When people find out that I'm from Texas, they tell me that they love the Cowboys and they love cowboy hats. And I'm like, well, I don't fucking like either one of those things. So let's move on.
Let's move on. Right.
Oh, you're from Texas? I love cowboy hats.
What exactly. That's exactly how it goes. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I've never owned a cowboy hat in my life. So moving on.
Great.
Also, I'm not sure everyone's aware, but cowboys are from all of America.
Right.
I mean, the Midwest, the Great Plains. Yeah.
You're telling me they have cowboys in Montana.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure it's all
there. They've got horses there, yeah.
Wait, what? They're not called horse boys.
Oh, that's smart. Wow. My mind is blown.
Thanks. Write it down. How did you guys meet?
That's an excellent question that I'm not sure we can answer.
Right.
I have to imagine that I'm not the first person to ask this question, so y'all should have come up with a pretty good answer by now. And action.
We've distilled it to like a couple of places it could have been, but it was 11 years ago now. So I think we met at Bourbon Street Blues Bar.
Wait, it wouldn't have been 11 years in 2011. I wasn't here in 2011.
We met 10 years ago then, 2012. I was here in 2011.
Right. Yeah. So a year later.
Y'all are right. Y'all have no idea.
We have no
idea. I mean, that happens when you see each other how many times a week for 10 years?
Right.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. We've been together playing music for 10 years.
Yep.
Like, I think it was at Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
I think we were introduced by a drummer friend of ours.
That's what I thought too. And you disagreed with me.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Fight.
We used to drink a lot. I don't know.
Used to? How dare you?
I don't drink at all anymore. That's my.
Oh, I know that too. Remember I told you, I heard some stuff about you.
I bet you did.
I'm still committed. I'm not a quitter.
Good for you, buddy. Well done. Nicole, when did you decide that music was your passion, your calling?
That's an interesting question. Do you decide that? I don't know. I feel like so much of it's environmental. And I think both of us grew up in households where music was prevalent all the time. So I was probably four when I started taking lessons of some sort, piano lessons. I was in a children's choir starting about age five. My dad is a musician and an audio engineer, and it was just kind of always around. My earliest memories are us sitting at the keyboard together. Before he got custody of me, we had a Friday night song that we would sit down and play together that was like, it's Friday night at daddy's house and we'll have a rocking good time. But I mean, those are my earliest memories.
That is the sweetest thing I've ever heard today.
It's pretty cute. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, single dad. He was super dad.
Super dad. He recently sent me all these recordings he had of me just singing to my stuffed animals for like, it was like his way of entertaining me while he had to cook dinner or something. He would just turn a tape recorder on and I would just make shit up. And I think it just kind of, when it's encouraged, when it's in your environment all the time, I don't know if you even make that decision. It's kind of chosen for you.
Shall we say destiny?
Right.
That word feels cheesy.
It feels cheesy? Okay. How about
fate?
But it's accurate.
No,
right?
But how about let's go with destiny?
I love it.
So you two found each other at a bar, as far as you can remember. Were you already sort of had your footing in the music scene in that area? I mean, not Alex, because he just barely got back or whatever, but did you guys have a foothold separately?
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it all began, is we ended up working together in a lot of different contexts where sometimes I was hiring him. Sometimes we were working on corporate gigs. Sometimes someone else was putting a band together and we would be in the group together. Even still now, I mean, we both work in a lot of different contexts musically, and that's kind of how the bond was formed.
And this third person who's not here, his name is Sam Gyllenhaal. How did he enter the mix?
Sam, I met at like a backyard songwriter's hang.
I'm sorry, a what?
Someone was having like a hang, a party, I guess, but it was four songwriters and everybody was passing the guitar around probably 8 or 9 years ago, right after I had met you. We were buds and then he moved back to Washington, D.C. for a while. And about 5, 6 years ago, he came back to Nashville and shot me a text asking me if I wanted to write. And I blew him off for an entire year. And then we finally got together to write, and I loved what we wrote, and it ended up going on our band's next record. At that point, Alex and I had already established Nicole Boggs and the Reel.
Okay, why the name? Why R-E-E-L and not R-E-A-L? Why R-E-E-L?
The first record that we did had a bunch of transitional music in between songs. It was all this connected thing that we were seeing as kind of a cinematic playground, I guess. And we've kind of thought of our writing across the board as that. It's all kind of these snapshots and vignettes of a moment. And also Lucas Nelson already had the band name spelling with an A. So
but that's the name. We had a loose, kind of a loose concept album that kicked off the band. And we were like, yeah, there's an act one and act two. And it was kind of like, band naming is so hard. We were like, this is short and sweet and
feels good.
So let's just commit.
Yeah, I really think, I don't know if you've named a band before, but it, when you're trying to get people to agree on a band name, yeah, it is not a fun process.
I interviewed the founding member of the Commodores.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I said, where did you guys get the Commodores from? And he said, well, we were all sitting around trying to figure out a name that we could all agree on, like you're saying. And everybody was throwing out just the craziest, weirdest shit, and nobody could agree on anything. So what they decided to do was open a dictionary, and the first word that they pointed to, they were just going to go with that. Well, the first word that they pointed to was commode. And so they were like, okay, how about the next one?
That's great.
How about the next one? That's hilarious. I wish we had just done that.
Right.
We're constantly coming up with
better band names.
Yeah. Too. We're like, it's too late.
Yeah.
Once you
what was the most recent one that we were like, I can't
it was
think
good.
Yeah. It's always the time.
This is a super bizarre question. Like some bands, like the Commodores, they'll just be the Commodores. But then other bands, it's like a person's name and the whatevers.
Mm-hmm. This is an easier question to answer, actually.
Oh, okay, good.
It's because I had already established somewhat of a solo career. And I had released music under that name, and it wasn't a massive audience, but there were people paying attention. And I had been on a television show recently, and we just wanted to carry some of that over. But there are definitely times when I wish it was just a band name, because the creative input is equal.
But we also, like, you know, we have influences, you know, big time from people like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, where there is a driving force. And it, like, you know, when we go together to write, a lot of the times we're starting from, you know, Nicole bringing a concept into the room, and we're building around like her vision. So she is our leader, and she's a great leader. And then we all kind of contribute and put it together. But it's kind of like, you know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers is totally them as a group, but it's also singularly Tom in a lot of ways. It's a dual thing. It's both.
That was a really good explanation.
Yeah, I'm sitting here amazed.
So that's how we started playing together, is I was playing her music, and then it kind of just slowly evolved where I started playing on her records, and then we started writing together, and we realized, like, this is kind of becoming organically more of a group thing, and we want to reflect that in the name.
And the sound is more reflective of the combination of our tastes and interests than it is one individual person at this point.
I love it. It was a little bit lengthy, but it was a great explanation on all three parts.
That's me.
We are a verbose bunch of people. If Sam was here, he'd say less.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be great at saying less.
Well, he's doing great at it right now.
Hey, Streetwalkers. Here's a word from our sponsors.
Texas has a reputation for being tough on crime. But beneath the surface, buried in the darkness that only those affected by tragedy know, is the reality of a flawed and insufficient justice system. More than 60% of violent crimes in Texas go unsolved, and many are at the hands of offenders who should have never had the opportunity, madmen who slipped through the cracks. On Gone Cold Podcast, Texas True Crime, you'll find in-depth accounts of unsolved homicides, missing persons cases, and other mysteries throughout Texas. From the historic and perplexing case of the 1948 disappearance of a Denton co-ed, Virginia Carpenter, to the unthinkable, the Orange, Texas abduction and murder of 4-year-old Denaria Finley in 2002. You can find and subscribe to Gone Cold, Texas True Crime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's get back into it.
Kristen sent me a link to your new song on Spotify, but I was not able to get that to play. I have no idea why. So I just went and listened to a bunch of your other stuff. Who is the lady who sings Black Velvet?
Alana Miles.
Holy shit. Now I feel stupid. Y'all both did it at the same time. Okay, so.
I don't know any other songs she sang. That was the one.
She was the one-hit wonder, yeah. I think. She's badass.
Cool.
Hearing your music, everything except the new song, I would describe your music, the sound of it, as, what's her name?
Alana Miles.
Alana Miles, Amy Winehouse, and Southern Rock all had a threesome, and then the baby came out of that.
That sounds great.
That's what I would describe.
What in Southern Rock?
Alana Miles, Amy Winehouse, and Southern Rock had a threesome.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yep. I love it.
There was a lot of drugs at that threesome. So how would you describe your sound? And then, if you can, what are you guys' musical influences besides your parents?
Which is actually pretty big. Mm-hmm. we describe the sound. Our shorthand, I guess, has been rock Americana lately, which I guess is because we're coming from a rock background in a lot of cases, but we're pretty song focused and lyric heavy. Like, that's really important to us in our process. But we recently saw Yola use the term genre fluid.
I'm sorry, you recently saw what?
Do you know who Yola is?
You Only Live Again? What is Yola? I don't know what that is.
Yola's an artist that's kind of up and coming on the Americana scene right now. She's amazing.
Okay.
Up and coming. I mean, she just sold out the Ryman multiple nights in a row. She's...
Oh, no shit.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's been calling her music genre fluid, and I feel like so strongly identified with that.
That is the wokest thing I've ever heard. I love it.
Great. So, yeah, great. So you got t-shirts and everything. You had to get one.
I bought a shirt that says genre fluid, but that feels like it makes the most sense because all the things that you're describing are there. I grew up on so much stuff. I grew up on a lot of classic rock, a lot of 80s rock. That's my dad's world. But soul music is heavily entrenched in what I'm doing. And
yeah, that 70s classic rock. It's so funny because when you say just straight up rock now, it's like, kind of, what does that mean? And who even exists in that world? Pretty much just like Jack White is, and the Foo Fighters. And
right.
But from, you know, the 70s classic rock influences, I love the band, the Canadian band, The Band. And it's like this word Americana, we kind of make fun of because it means everything and nothing at the same time. But what is rock and roll if not a combination of blues and soul and funk and country? And like, all of those things are things that are important to us. So,
and isn't that, I mean, to continue being long winded.
No, this is great.
Isn't that what American music is? Is this melt? Yeah. It's just a bunch of stuff melted together. I've been watching the Ken Burns country music docuseries recently and just thinking about that constantly, that these genre identifications we've come up with are like all rooted in the same place in America. And they just split off based on,
I mean,
genre
classifications were originally an invention of Billboard in the industry to separate the races, because yep. You have like Lead Belly was a folk singer. He is now, I think, you know, looked at in the same breath as a Woody Guthrie or a Pete Seeger. But I was reading, I think it was Dave Burns, Talking Heads guy, his book, and he was talking about how he was a sophisticated New York person and they would put him in overalls and take him to Texas and like make him into like this blues image because he was black and that's how it sold. But yeah, there was the race charts.
And the funny part is, watching that docuseries, the same guy owns all of it.
Right.
So it's really just one publisher splitting it off, making maximum money. And that's how we end up where we are today. And I don't know what that exactly has to do with where where we're at, but we just think it's kind of silly.
Genres are hard. You know? Yeah. And you have to figure out a way to describe yourself. And we do it in, you know, 30 minutes or less or more.
So what I'm getting out of that lovely yet long-winded explanation is that was a dumb question for me to ask you to...
No, it's not.
No, we obviously like to talk about it.
People want to know.
Because
yeah.
Now I feel like what I said was, okay, put yourself in a box. That was not my intent.
No, but I mean, that's what people ask for. They want to know, how do you describe yourself? And it can be challenging.
Well, and I think sometimes finding your box is actually more about figuring out what you're not.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that. When I asked you how to describe your music style and you started talking about genre fluid,
mm-hmm.
right? And the concept of genre fluid, which makes 100% sense. I feel like all groups, I know that maybe on the surface, they're intended for us to be able to find like-minded individuals, right? We're going to find our people. We're going to find our clan. But I feel like it's probably turned more into, oh, well, you're going to have to pick a group so that you know who to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And who you hate is not your group, right? So if I'm going to say I'm country, well, then that means I don't like rock, or vice versa, or whatever. And so I feel like whenever people put themselves in groups or are asked to define which group they're in, I feel more and more it's like so that they know who to hate, like who's your enemy.
Interesting.
I agree with that. And I almost feel like that's what we're railing against.
Yeah.
When I say it's silly, I don't mean it's silly for you to ask and inquire what our influences are. I love talking about that. what's silly is having this idea of one genre of music is better than the other or more interesting than the other. There is stuff for me to dig across the board, and there isn't a genre that I don't like. There are artists that I don't love and records I'm not that into, but when it comes to music, if it feels good, it feels good.
I think another important point to make is that I don't know if you can decide for yourself. I think other people decide where you belong.
Like, I love your description of what we are. Yep. I want to write it down and start telling people that. Yeah. You know?
Well, you're in luck. I recorded it.
I don't want to speak for all of us, but the only thing that I don't think we're terribly concerned with is modernity or trendiness. We don't really know the commercial marketability necessarily of, you know, some of these songs. And we kind of start from the position of like, let's write our best version of what Tom Petty or the Eagles would do. I want to write a song that sounds like it almost already existed. Not that we're ripping anybody off, but that the fundamentals of a good song that feels good and says something and is melodic and makes you want to dance and stick in your head is a timeless thing. So chasing a trend from 2022 right now, if we write it, by the time we record it and release it, what's the point? It's on to the next trend.
That already doesn't exist anymore. And I guess the only modern angle we really have is we're talking about current things.
Yeah.
The subject matter is reflective of the world we're living in now.
Yeah. I mean, you actually name checked a tequila brand.
Yeah. See, we're trying to get our sponsorships going.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Right.
Yeah. One man tequila sponsor.
I can handle it.
I can hit. Wait, does Sam not drink either?
No,
he doesn't.
Teetotaler.
Alex, why do you hang around with these people?
Why do they hang around with me? I would ask.
That is also a good question.
In fairness, I drank enough for everyone for a long stretch. So I keep telling everyone there's nothing more rock and roll than having to stop drinking alcohol.
Yeah, that's the story. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Since you brought up your penchant for alcohol in your previous life, Nicole, I am under the understanding that in an odd sort of a way, you helped your mom get sober.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? You don't have to if you don't want to.
Absolutely.
I completely understand if you don't want to.
No, it's a really special story. I actually have can I see that? That we have matching tattoos now since her sobriety date. It's a rose, which is... both of our middle names are Rose, and her mother's middle name was also Rose.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so my mom has been a meth addict most of my life. That's why my dad got custody of me so young. And there were seasons where she was clean in my teenage years for a couple years at a time where I would go visit. But for the most part, we really haven't spent much time together in this life. But I wrote a song with our dear friend Kellyanne in... what year did that record come out? 2019. So I probably wrote it in 2018. That was kind of the letter I would have sent to her if I were to sit down and tell her everything about how that affected me growing up, about growing up without a mom, but growing up without a female role model. I mean, there's just so many factors there, but the song is her name, Michelle. And I thought for sure she would never hear it. I mean, she wasn't actively online or paying any attention to any of my stuff, and somebody sent it to her.
Of course they did.
And she checked herself into rehab the next week, and she has been clean ever since. It's been 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
First off, way to go, Michelle Rose. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Second of all, way to go, Nicole Rose. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That is really, really, that's a feather in your cap. Well, you should get a cap and then stick a feather in it.
Nicole Rose would be a good artist name. You never thought about that?
I went by that for a while.
Nicole Boggs and the Roses. Damn it! I like that.
That's
sorry.
Pretty good.
That's awesome.
It's not bad.
No, that's great. That's great. I love that you're still coming up with band names.
For a minute, we wanted to call the band 10 Minutes Late.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Why?
Because we could announce ourselves as, hi, we're 10 minutes late.
Which is usually
not funny.
True. Decent. Tough crowd.
What was The Four?
What was The Four?
What is The Four?
No, it was. And how do I explain this? It was a singing reality show on Fox.
It was like the, can I call it like the Walmart Great Value version of the Voice?
I guess that's a good point.
This was on television?
It was on television. It was on Fox. It had two seasons. I was on season one.
Is this the P. Diddy thing you referenced earlier?
This P. Diddy show, yes. Okay. So it was P. Diddy show, and the panel of judges were P. Diddy, DJ Khaled, Trainer, and Charlie Watts.
I'm sorry, who was? I started laughing at DJ Khaled.
It's a good moment to laugh. although he was very nice to me, yeah. But whatever. Megan Trainor.
Okay.
And Charlie Walk, who was a representative from a record label who later got kicked off of the show for sexual harassment.
That sounds like a record label executive.
Yeah, seems about right. But yeah, their version of things was that the show starts with four artists and they bring in other singers to battle those artists and knock them out of their seats. So it was supposed to be a fairly aggressive, in-your-face kind of singing battle, which of course is totally my personality. And
it was another angle on American Idol or the Voice.
So how did you get selected for this?
Most of these singing reality shows, I feel like it's good for us to burst this mythic bubble of people stand in line and audition and get their dreams to come true. It's no, there are talent scouts on the internet that send you an email and give you a time for an audition. And almost everybody that's making it onto these casting calls is selected. And then the people that go onto the show are chosen from that group of select people. And like any television show, it's casting. So they're looking for roles. One person looks like this and one person that dresses like this. And
gotcha.
When I made it onto that, I was kind of told that I was to be their Adele.
Right.
Which is a box that people like to put me in.
Right.
Okay. That's a weird thing, I think. Okay, you're going to come on this and be you, but just know that while you're being you, you're going to be our somebody else. That's weird.
Right. We need you. And I mean, you know, not to get too far down this rabbit hole, but with women in particular, it has so much to do with body type. So it's like, it's not even about your musicality at that point. It's that you're plus size. We're going to put you in this dress at a piano. You have a big voice. You're Adele. You know, that's what we're expecting you to be. I feel like I'm painting it into a negative of a light because I didn't have a negative experience on this show. I just had a very realistic perspective on it going in. I knew what it was. The contract was good. You were out of the contract the minute you walked off set. So I knew that there was no downside to getting to be on television for 15 minutes and then you can go home and release music.
So there was no like no competition clause or anything like that. Once you left, you were done with them.
Exactly. I mean, we did sign an NDA, but now the show doesn't exist anymore. So So I feel like I could say
losers. They suck. So have you guys heard DJ Khaled play guitar?
No. I can honestly say I have not.
Okay, so I'm not going to do it right now during the show, but I'm going to give you guys homework. It's going to make your weekend. He received a guitar from like the Bob Marley estate or something. And he was so excited about it that he had, I don't know, his wife, girlfriend, assistant or whatever, film him for like Instagram or Twitter or whatever the hell it was, saying thank you. And so he was talking about how appreciative it was and how cool they must think he is or something like that. And then he played this acoustic guitar like, oh, I don't know. Well, me or my dog. How about that? I promise it's going to make your weekend. You're going to be like, what?
I believe
in the
that
serious fuck entirely. Is this?
That actually reminds me that. So Alex flew out for the taping so that because you can have a guest backstage for the day. And my dad was on the road. So I was like, let's fly Alex out. And right before I went on stage, he said, just remember, no one out there even knows what an F sharp is. I was like, thank you.
Love it. Love it. And also you listening at home or in the car or whatever, pull over and look it up I'm sure it's just DJ Khaled guitar. It's made the rounds. It's pretty easy to find. It is arguably my favorite musical clip of the past my entire life.
Can't wait.
Hey, Streetwalkers. Here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey there, this is Brie Bagwell. I have a new record. It's called Corazón y Cabeza. I have a bunch of CD release parties planned around Texas and sometimes online. But most importantly, I'd love for you to just stream the record. I have 3 songs already out. The whole record will be available August 26th. And then on BrieBagwell.com, you can pre-order a vinyl or order a CD if you're into that kind of thing. I've been working really, really hard on this record. It's my first album in 4 years and my 5th album in total. And if you could give it a listen, I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Let's get back into it.
I think I'm saying this right. You won an award for best soul singer a few years ago, right? What's that all about?
Oh, man, how has he been finding this shit? Yeah. The Nashville Independent Music Awards, I won Best Soul Singer. The funny part is, I think the year I won, we were already doing the band thing, and I wouldn't describe what we were doing so much as straight ahead soul, but those influences are definitely in there, and and both of us really come from that background professionally.
Yeah, for sure.
So where's that award, and what has it done for your career?
Absolutely nothing. And
I love that Alex is looking around for
it. I actually don't have the award. I wasn't able to make the ceremony that year. I was on the road.
You never got your statue?
I never got my award. I emailed them about it. No one ever got back to me.
That's a pretty small local outfit.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I could not have asked for a better story. I'm glad I asked you about it. I am under the impression, mostly because you said it earlier, that your father, Nicole, is an audio engineer.
That is correct.
And a lot of the times, for all I know, all of the times, he audio engineers your stuff.
That is also correct. Yeah.
Okay. I have a burning question. And it goes a little something like this. In the song Over My Head by you, the first verse is, I never knew how it could be until you touched me. Does it ever get super uncomfortable singing those sorts of things into a microphone, staring at your father, who's on the other side of the glass, turning knobs and flipping switches?
Not really, you know, especially because that's the least of things I've talked about. I mean, we have a whole record about me not drinking anymore and just all kinds of stuff. My dad is not particularly lyrically focused and probably wouldn't know what I was saying unless I told him to pay attention to it. So.
Nice.
I think there's a professional barrier there. Like, he knows what an artist does and that you're going to talk about personal things. And we just don't talk about it. You know, it's like,
he's not an overly emotional guy either. Mm-hmm. So it's,
he trusts me to make decisions for myself.
Rock on. Tell me about your latest single, If You Can't Be Cool. Well, actually, first tell me about your full album that came out on August 1st.
Dystopian Book Club is the name of the album.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
Well, you have it so down pat, you know. It's we wrote it, most of it, during the lockdown in 2020. And during the time, Nicole was reading a lot of dystopian fiction, like 1984 and Brave New World.
I reread basically all of it. Yeah. All the classics that were like required reading in high school. I don't know what masochism took over me, but I
needed it.
I just, something about it felt cathartic to read these perspectives. And that kind of just filtered into the writing room when we would start every write by just talking about where things are at, how they felt related to some of these concepts in the books I was reading.
Every song that came out was like, well, here's a song about lockdown. Here's a song about society. Here's a song about the internet. And it was all kind of pointed. They all kind of met at the same place. And it was like, look at this world we're in. It's, you know, the world is on fire. Basically.
Yeah.
Tell me about the song, If You Can't Be Cool.
That is kind of our song about living in the digital age that we are all in, which is this wild West, we simultaneously have access to all these amazing things, and we're grateful for that. And we also know that it's like negatively impacting our mental health and
our attention span,
self-esteem, and our well-being. And
the opening lyric of the song is, you know, here in the future, we have supercomputers, but we have them for taking pictures of ourselves. Like, yeah, we have all of this power in the world, and we're using them for just this base level, shallow vanity.
I think the song started as a saying, like, if we were to time travel and go back to the past and try to explain to someone what our fucking phones are, how would we tell them what they are? Like, how would we explain that and how it's influenced us? And the title, If You Can't Be Cool, actually came from something my dad had said to me, which was sometimes when I get off the phone, he'll say, if you can't be good, just be yourself.
You got to say the whole thing. She's like, all right, I'll see you later. Be good. You can't be good. Be yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Be good.
And I thought, that's cool. What if we replace good with something else? And that really led to us talking about how we're using these platforms to make ourselves look cool.
Yeah. The influencer world, posturing and fronting. And
yeah. It's a little 3-minute ditty.
I'm going to push back a little bit on your statement earlier that we only use these phones to kind of take pictures of ourselves and, you know, pose. We also use them to hate as much as we humanly can, hate everybody and everything. So there's that too.
That's true. Yeah.
Can I play If You Can't Be Cool?
We would love that.
Would you do me a favor?
Sure.
This is my favorite part. Will you introduce it like you're radio DJs?
Oh,
all right.
This is the brand new single from Nicole Boggs and The Real.
If You Can't Be Cool.
So dope. I love it. That was some tag team action right there. Well done. You guys had a new album come out on August 1st, which is awesome. This is your how manyth album?
This is our third release as a band, my fifth, including two solo projects. Alex has a solo record out as well.
And Sam has a solo record out as well.
So altogether, it's our ninth release.
Yeah.
Wow. Prolific as heck. Are you guys going on tour?
We are.
I mean, I know that Sam's on tour right now without you. A tour of, I would say, wineries and bars, but he doesn't drink. I don't know. A tour of hotel pillows. I don't know what he's doing.
He's with his family at the lake, I think.
Oh, the lake. Got you. Well, you guys going on tour if he ever comes back?
We sure are. We hit the road in September. We've got a small run of dates, but we're doing about 15 dates regionally from September to November, and then we'll hit the road again next spring.
Nice. You think 15 is small?
Yeah.
We want to be
doing at least 50.
Yeah.
But 15 is an awesome starting point.
It's a great start. Yeah. So you said regionally, so we're talking in and around the Nashville area?
I think the farthest away we're going is Michigan. So we're trying to keep it so that we can feasibly get home in time to play our paying work, because I really believe in being transparent about how this industry works. And in order for us to feed ourselves, we have to play corporate events and everything in between. So we're doing a lot of Thursday, Friday band dates, coming home to play the big money events that allow us to do our own stuff.
But we're in Ohio, Indiana, Michigan,
Kentucky, Alabama, and there's still a few dates that we're filling in.
Wow. That's great. Everybody go check them out. Where can people find out these tour dates?
You'll be able to find them at our website, NicoleBogsAndTheReel.com.
That's R-E-E-L.
Correct.
And two G's in Boggs. Where can people find you specifically on social medias?
I think the best place to keep up with us is on Instagram, @TheReelNicoleBoggs.
That's confusing.
With two E's, right?
Yeah. Two E's.
Wanted to have a play on words and be unsearchable.
If you type in my name, Nicole Boggs, it will come up.
Yeah.
It's actually quite searchable. The first thing that comes up when you type in my name.
We got our escape together.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Do you guys have individual social medias as well?
I use my individual social media as the band account because it is too much work. I, for a minute, split off and ran a separate account and was like, I don't have any desire to post about things that aren't about the band. Yeah. Like, that's just not where my heart's at.
That makes sense. Well, guys, Alex, Nicole, Alex, as we're winding up here, is there anything I didn't ask you or we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about today? Did I miss anything?
I don't know. We've got a record release show coming up August 31st.
Oh, yeah. Where?
It'll be at Analog at the Hutton Hotel, which is a beautiful venue in Nashville if you haven't been.
Is that a ticketed event?
It's a ticketed event. You can find those tickets at our website. It's $10 in advance, 12 day of show. We've got Alicia Michelli and Craig Haller opening up the show. They're both local legends. It's going to be an awesome night.
Will the album be available for purchase that night?
It sure will, along with our Queen of the Dive tank tops.
We have merch.
We've got merch.
Queen of the Dive. Is that sponsored by Casamigos?
George Clooney is meant to text me back, but he's...
He's blowing you up right now?
Yeah.
Or he's not blowing you up right now? All right, cool.
You know?
Oh, those people. Huh. If only you knew somebody who could probably get to him.
We probably do.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah.
Yeah, Sam. So
yeah, not having in with the Clooney's, but from Sam.
I mean, hello. What he didn't tell you was that the lake is that weird ass lake in France that Clooney lives at. That's where they are.
That's probably true.
Or Italy. It's Italy. Yeah, not France. What am I? Okay, guys, Alex, Nicole from Nicole Boggs and The Reel. Thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your busy day and your hectic songwriting and band renaming schedules to hang out and let us get to know you a little bit better. I really appreciate it.
We really appreciate you. Thank you so much for having us.
It is 100% my pleasure. Guys, have a great weekend. And again, thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Really good time.
I had a blast. Thank you.
Awesome. Take care, bud.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
opening music is the song Magnolia from the 2001 album Intransigence, used with permission from Douglas Miles Clark. Closing music is from the song Say My Name off the 2021 album Underdog Anthems, used with permission from Jax Hollow. If you like the show, tell a friend, subscribe, and rate and review the show on iTunes and wherever else you download podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. All the episodes are available there as well. Check me out on Vero at Fascination Street Pod and TikTok at Fascination Street Pod. And again, thanks for listening.